What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters.
For those, you know, looking towards the college journey is to find a group of people that you really get along with and, you know, you're passionate about hanging out with, because everything will just be more enjoyable. Even studying, just, you know, somebody cracks a joke and everybody, you know, laughs at that, and then you get back to work. Those small things, I think, really help to elevate the experience.
That is John Georgiadis, a Goldwater scholar studying biochemistry at Washington University at St. Louis. Hello, I'm your host, Venkat Raman. John calls himself an average nerd while in high school. He enjoyed learning, and chemistry was his favorite subject. In addition to classes, he was into debate, school orchestra, and concertmaster for the local youth symphony. Since he loved science and liked helping people, he decided to be pre-med in college. John joins us on our podcast to share his undergraduate college journey at WashU, undergraduate research, winning the Goldwater Scholarship, moving away from pre-med, majoring in biochemistry, and advice for high schoolers. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
And so I decided I'd enter college with the goal of studying something in the realm of chemistry and in biology. But I had no clue how much that study of chemistry and its applications in biology would really come to define my college experience and ultimately define my career choices down the line as well. But I think most importantly, actually, for me was probably the financial aid that WashU offered. They had a new program for Missouri residents. So I'm from Missouri, and this program allowed me to attend WashU actually for free. So that was an incredible blessing. After I took organic chemistry, I absolutely loved it. And in fact, my professor for organic chemistry too, he, you know, was hiring undergrads at the start of my junior year. And so I was able to return to chemistry, and I joined his lab group, which I think was, you know, probably the best decision I had made in all of my undergrad career, making that return to chemistry and, you know, study of these systems that I'm, you know, much more interested in was a really great experience. And I guess I could probably say the Goldwater Scholarship was the catalyst for my eventual switch from being pre-med to wanting to go to grad school. And I think, you know, I was awarded the Goldwater Scholarship at the end of March, but it wasn't until June that I actually made a decision on if I want to stay pre-med or if I want to just go into graduate school. And eventually, you know, I made the big decision and gearing up for graduate applications this fall. Anything. I think especially, you know, during those couple years right before you're applying to college, there's a huge pressure to do things that you think will get you into college. And while those, you know, certainly, you know, there are some things that might look good on an application, quote unquote, doing what you enjoy, you know, really immersing yourself in it and doing it to the best of your ability, that's really going to stand out on an application. And you're just going to enjoy life and enjoy what you do a lot more.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with John. So without further ado, here is John Georgiadis.
So if you're ready, we can jump right in.
Yeah, sounds great.
Fabulous. So maybe the best place to start is maybe tell us how your experience has been so far. Give us sort of an overview.
Yeah, sure. So I'm about to enter my senior year of college. I go to Washington University in St. Louis, and I'm studying chemistry with a, I guess, kind of concentration or focus in biochemistry, and I'm minoring in music and in biology. So I entered college knowing that I wanted to do something in the realm of biochemistry because I really enjoyed some, I guess, like individual-based learning I did in high school because we didn't really have, you know, any biochemistry coursework. And so I read a little bit into biochemistry, thought it was super interesting. And so I decided I'd enter college with the goal of studying something in the realm of chemistry and in biology. But I had no clue how much that study of chemistry and its applications in biology would really come to define my college experience and ultimately define my career choices down the line as well.
So why did you pick WashU?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I guess when I was applying to colleges, I visited not too many schools, actually, because WashU was the first on my list. And pretty much the moment I stepped onto the campus, I kind of felt like it was the place I belonged. The campus itself was beautiful, and I liked the size of the campus. It's, I guess, small to medium sized, nowhere near, you know, those massive state schools, which I enjoyed the more personal nature of the campus. And it was also, it was close to family, so the location was nice and easy for travel. And when I entered college, I was thinking I was going to be a pre-med and apply to medical school eventually. And I know, you know, WashU is, you know, known for producing a lot of pre-med, pre-med students and medical applicants. And so the rigor associated with WashU's programs was something I was interested in. But I think most importantly, actually for me, was probably the financial aid that WashU offered. They had a new program for Missouri residents. So I'm from Missouri, and this program allowed me to attend WashU actually for free. So that was an incredible blessing. But I think overall is kind of all these things coming together, kind of pointing me towards WashU as the best place that I could begin my journey in academia and in college. And so I chose to apply early decision for WashU. And when I was accepted, I was like, perfect. This is exactly where I want to go, and it's exactly what I need.
So tell me a little bit about high school. What were you like?
Yeah. So high school, I'd probably say I was your average nerd. I enjoyed all of my classes, which I always got flack for because people generally did not enjoy the chemistry coursework, which was my favorite class. Right. But I enjoyed all my classes, and I enjoyed, you know, studying and getting to learn more about all these different areas that, you know, you have to take in high school. I did the IB program in high school. So we had coursework ranging from, you know, English language to a foreign language that I did Spanish, and then, you know, from the social sciences to mathematics and natural sciences. So I enjoyed all of my classes, but I guess at the same time, I was also involved in way too many things outside of school. And so that sometimes that made, you know, finding time to do homework or have free time for myself a bit hard, but I was involved in debate. I did high school debate all 4 years, and I really enjoyed the community that allowed me to build of people that were interested in, I guess, trying to learn more about current issues and trying to come to solutions to some really complex problems in society. And then I was also involved in a number of music activities, such as my school's orchestra, and I was concertmaster of the local youth symphony. So I've continued music through college as well, because it's been a strong interest of mine. But overall, I'd say I was the high school nerd that that enjoyed school maybe a little too much.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Let's talk about transitioning to WashU. What was that like, going from high school to college?
The transition was certainly an interesting time, because I began my college journey in the heat of the COVID-19 pandemic. So during March of my senior year is when everything started to hit the fan in the United States, at least. And so I guess trying to transition into college was a bit odd, because I wasn't used to online school in the first place. So it was the combination of both, you know, figuring out how to learn remotely and online, and also do it in a new atmosphere and at a different level of difficulty. Because mm-hmm. As I mentioned, I was in the IB program in high school,
right.
Which I would say in difficulty is probably comparable to the AP programs that mm-hmm. many mm-hmm. are probably familiar with. And
right.
while those classes were certainly very stimulating, it was definitely not to the level of what college was, or at least at what WashU's programming was. And so there was certainly a big adjustment in terms of the amount of time I had to spend studying compared to other things. Mm-hmm. I remember my first week of college, I was taking Calculus 3, and mm-hmm. I remember just doing homework for hours and hours, and it was almost like a never-ending stream of homework. And then I had to move on to the next class and do that right. homework as well. So I think just for me, it was definitely a tough time adjusting to the amount of work that I had to do. But I knew that those first couple of weeks, I kind of came to the realization that if I wanted to do well in college, I was going to have to work, you know, harder than I ever had before, and really try and, you know, make the most of my college experience and mm-hmm. do as much as I can to get as much as I can out of college. And so I think, you know, for myself, entering with that mindset was definitely helpful. And I think, you know, for all the listeners out there who are about to enter college or are in that part of the journey, definitely overestimate the amount of work you have to do, because it's certainly a lot.
Now, how did you kind of figure out a way to work it so that you were effective?
Yeah, so I guess I remember at the beginning of the year, I think I was registered for, I want to say 18 credits, with some of those mm-hmm. being, you know, music ensembles, those kind of count for credits.
Yeah.
But I was talking to my suite mate, because we all had individual rooms because of COVID. So I was talking to my suite mate, who was a friend I actually went to high school with. Mm-hmm. And he was taking an intro to psychology class that, you know, as a pre-med at the time, I knew that I needed to take at some point. And so mm-hmm. kind of one of the things that COVID allowed was, since everything was online and social lives were really put to the side, it wasn't really an option. I, you know, decided to add on that extra course. And I think that was a good decision because I got the course out of the way, but it certainly increased my workload. And so uh-huh. I think because of that, having the necessity of, you know, keeping up with all this coursework, as well as with it being online, it really required a lot of self-discipline. Because, you know, if the lectures are recorded, you could watch them afterward. You don't have to be on the Zoom live. And so mm-hmm. I think it really forced me to work hard and to build good habits, use my time wisely. And I think, you know, as much as I could, try and set up video calls with friends to try and maintain some form of a social life. Because, I mean, we all went through it. COVID was a nasty time in terms of connecting with people. So I think the biggest thing that was an adjustment for me in terms of adjusting to that virtual type of a life was probably just finding the inner desire to get work done when I could just, you know, watch a YouTube video on my bed in my dorm room instead of work at my desk.
When did you start to get to know your peers and classmates? I mean, when did that start happening? And how was that?
Yeah, I think I remember maybe it was around spring of my senior year of high school, because I was, you know, I'd already been admitted early decision to WashU. And I guess I was sent the link to a group chat to join. Mm-hmm. And so I joined a group chat and was able to connect to some of my future classmates over the summer before college, and I even hopped on a couple video calls to meet people remotely, mm-hmm. which was that was really nice. Trying, you know, going into college and knowing some people, but I think, you know, in terms of meeting people, you know, because of COVID, it was really only in my classes that I was able to meet people, mm-hmm. and like I mentioned, I already knew my suite mate from high school, I had somebody that I was, you know, pretty close with. That I was able to live with through the year. And so we built a pretty strong relationship together. But certainly the transition from high school, where I had a good combination of friends that took school pretty seriously, but also some friends that didn't. I think one of the big transitions was, you know, in college, I found it much easier to make friends with people who did take school just as seriously as I did.
Yeah.
And I think entering into my sophomore year, when COVID restrictions were sort of easing in the St. Louis area, at least, mm-hmm. we, you know, we had in-person organic chemistry. And so during that course, I sat with some people in the front of the class and I became friends with them. And then we'd meet after class sometimes to study together. And I think the thing I really appreciated about, you know, transitioning into college when I wanted to, you know, spend a lot of my time studying, but still have some fun on the outside of classwork, I was able to find a group of friends that had that same mentality. And so I think that's one of the nice things about, you know, WashU, but really college in general, is that, you know, there are so many people at the university. Everybody's going to be able to find their niche and find the people that they want to hang out with or want to study with or do whatever.
How did you discover research, or was that something that you already had in mind coming into college? Tell us how it started and then tell us about what you did.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I was in the IB program, International Baccalaureate in high school. And part of that program is writing this, I think, 4,000 word essay they call the extended essay, which is, you know, you can do it in whichever discipline you want. And so I chose to do it in chemistry because it was my favorite course.
Yeah.
And that what that required is sort of an individual research project. And when I did a small research project, but it was, I wouldn't call it actual research. It was probably, you know, just a high school nerd messing around with chemicals in the classroom. It wasn't to that extent, but it certainly wasn't to the rigor of actual academic research. Mm-hmm. And so because I, you know, in high school, I kind of had that exposure to reading primary literature and trying to get, you know, a feel for what it's like to ask questions and do experiments to answer those, I knew that I wanted to have some experience like that in college. And so when I, as soon as I got into college, I started looking for opportunities. And actually the summer before I started, you know, I received an email asking for applications to this research program called the CPhages program. It's a one-year classroom research experience funded by the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, where, you know, college freshmen are able to isolate, purify, and characterize a bacteriophage, which is a virus that infects only bacteria. And so we spent the first semester of that, it was a class, but you were doing the research in the class. And so we spent the first semester doing that wet lab work, you know, working with the bacteria and with the phages. And then at the end of the semester, we, you know, purified the bacterial DNA and, purified the phages DNA and sent that off to WashU's Genome Institute for sequencing. And so in the spring semester, the second part of this program, we had received the sequence back and our professor had aligned the sequence for us. And from there, we annotated the entire genome, basically taking each of these potential genes, determining what the probability we thought of this one region of the genome encoding a gene. And then we used a number of bioinformatics tools to essentially compare that sequence to known sequences of proteins that have been characterized biochemically in the actual laboratory. And so we're able to annotate the genome to try and assign functions to each of these genes individually. And that was a great research experience for me because it was sort of my first, I guess, experience doing actual research. And although it was very prescribed because, you know, our hands were pretty much held the entire time, we were walked through each of the steps, we still had enough, I guess, intellectual freedom to ask some of the questions we were interested in, especially when trying to annotate the genomes. We were given a lot of freedom there. And so that kind of, you know, got me on fire for science. And I wanted more. So I started to look for some research opportunities in my major area because I was majoring in chemistry with a concentration in biochemistry. And so I looked for research opportunities in chemistry But unfortunately, due to the COVID pandemic, nobody in the chemistry department was hiring undergrad students to work in the lab.
Right.
So this was a really critical juncture for me because I knew I wanted to be involved in research, but the area I wanted to do research really wasn't possible for me. Mm-hmm. So I sort of pivoted and looked more towards biology-based research and ended mm-hmm. up joining a cancer biology research group that was hiring students. Mm-hmm. And I worked there for about a year. And I really enjoyed the process of doing research and, you know, asking questions and answering them with laboratory experiments. But it, you know, that experience in cancer biology wasn't really career changing for me mm-hmm. in the sense that it didn't really inspire me to go into a career of research. It was kind of just, you know, I liked the idea of asking questions. Yeah. And so, as I continued to gain more familiarity with the scientific method, I gained a little bit more independence asking my own questions. And then, you know, that was, I guess, throughout my sophomore year, I was working in that lab. And mm-hmm, mm-hmm. after I took organic chemistry, I absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, my professor for organic chemistry 2, he, you know, was hiring undergrads at the start of my junior year. And so mm-hmm. I was able to return to chemistry and I joined his lab group, which I think was, you know, probably the best decision I had made in all of my undergrad career, making that return to chemistry and, you know, study of these systems that I'm, you know, much more interested in, was a really great experience. And our lab, the Tim Vincevich is the professor, so the Vincevich lab, we do bioorganic chemistry mm-hmm. Of a broad sense. So we work with antibiotics, you know, trying to understand the mechanisms of resistance to antibiotics and also mm-hmm. mechanisms or ways that we can solve those problems of resistance. And so there was a great combination of biology, chemistry, biochemistry, and I absolutely loved and continue to love my experience in this lab. And it's certainly where the most significant, career changes happened for me, which I guess we can go into more later. But I guess, in short, because of my experience in this lab, I actually decided to pivot from, you know, being a pre-med and wanting to go to medical school to at one point thinking I was going to apply for the joint MD-PhD programs, and then eventually realizing mm-hmm. that research was really my passion and sort of going all in on going to graduate school and getting a PhD.
What kind of impact, if you could characterize it or articulate it, what impact was it making on you doing research?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just asking questions, and not only asking questions, you know, when you're in the lab and when you're, you know, working on your project, but in all of life, asking questions. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, ever since I've been involved in research, I've been asking the question why or how, but in different ways and in different mm-hmm. contexts, much mm-hmm. more than I had ever, you know, done before. Mm-hmm. In my, you know, classroom, in the classroom setting, I'm, you know, much more actively, I guess, thinking about, you know, where, you know, the knowledge that we've learned in the classroom, what the next step could be with that. And, you know, maybe what's the current research people are doing in that area. And so I guess just having that desire to ask questions and, you know, try and seek more information is really a mindset that is built up when you do research. And, you know, there are definitely ways that you can, you know, try to do that. I certainly, you know, did my best to try and learn how to ask good questions and really, you know, learn how to dig deep into areas. But I mean, I think anybody that does research is going to be better at asking questions. I think there's no doubt about it in my mind. So I think that's definitely one, you know, big impact that research had on me. And then of course, I mean, the second big impact, as I mentioned, was that it really caused me to consider my career choices and ultimately sure. flip from being pre-med to wanting to go into graduate school.
Let's talk about the Goldwater Scholarship. Why did you apply? And also take us through when you applied and how that process was. But let's start with why did you apply?
Yeah. So I didn't know anything about the Goldwater Scholarship until in March of my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. One of my friends from a club I was involved in actually won the scholarship. And so mm-hmm. that kind of put it on my radar as something that I might be interested in applying for in the future. But at that time, I was definitely more on the pre-med, just wanting to get an MD, you know, sort of the aisle. Yeah. And the Goldwater Scholarship is really all about people that want careers in research, whether that be through a PhD or even through an MD-PhD.
Right.
And so as, you know, I continued to do research, and once I switched labs at the start of my junior year, that's when I started to kind of think that maybe I do want to do the MD-PhD. Maybe I am interested in research. And so I thought of the Goldwater Scholarship again. This was, I think, at some point in the early fall of my junior year. And, you know, I was thinking about Goldwater, and, you know, I just made a massive pivot in research. I just changed from doing biology research to biochemistry research. Mm-hmm. And I was working in a new laboratory, so I didn't have all the longevity that people talk about in terms of, you know, trying to stick with one lab for all of college. And so I was really self-conscious about that. And I thought that there was absolutely no way that I would even get my school's nomination for the Goldwater Scholarship, much less actually win the scholarship. But eventually, you know, I decided kind of on a whim that I was going to go for it and I was going to do my best. I think I decided about a month before Wash U's internal deadline was for the scholarship. Because, you know, I'd almost convinced myself that there was no point in applying for the scholarship. And so eventually I was like, you know what, I'm going to apply. I'm going to go for it. And so this was, I think, right before Thanksgiving break in November. I reached out to all the people who eventually wrote me letters of recommendation, and I started working on my, you know, personal statements and a research essay. And once I, you know, I got it all submitted, and once I guess the result came back in January that Wash U had decided they wanted to put my name forward as one of the four students they were nominating for the scholarship, I was blown away. And then eventually in March, when the decision came back that I did get the scholarship, I was on cloud nine. It was tremendous.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Congratulations again on that.
Thank you.
Now, why do you think you were awarded the scholarship? I mean, what do you think in your application stood out? Just speculation, and maybe you have some educated guesses.
Yeah. I think, honestly, you know, given that I had made a lot of, you know, I made that massive pivot in terms of my research, I think probably what it was is that I just answered the questions genuinely and honestly. I didn't try and hide the fact that I had switched research areas. And in fact, I kind of used that to my advantage, I guess, and highlighted, you know, my story as, you know, working through the challenges of COVID-19 and having to make research pivots in there, but, you know, finally coming back to the area that I was most interested in. And I think that, I guess, kind of, you know, demonstrated my story as a thinker and as a researcher. And I guess, you know, part of that story is with the Goldwater Scholarship, you write a research essay, which either can be sort of a summary of the research you've done with a brief proposal of what future work might look like, or you can go all in and write just a brand new proposal for a new type of research. And because I had only worked in the Vincevich lab in chemistry for 3 or 4 months at the time that I started to apply for the scholarship, I chose to go full in on writing that research proposal. I didn't even talk about, you know, what my own research was in the research essay, because I just switched research areas and I only had a couple months of data.
Right.
And I think that was honestly, that was a really good decision, because at least, you know, from other Goldwater scholars that I've talked to, some friends of mine that received the award, most people write the essay based off of research that they've done, which makes sense. It's the best way to sell yourself is to explain your thought process. And so I think, you know, maybe writing it as a proposal was a way that, you know, I stood out, and, you know, maybe something like that. And I know recommendation letters are certainly extremely important. And I was very grateful that I had, you know, three people that I had built, you know, solid relationships with that could, I guess, recommend me or speak on my behalf for the scholarship. But I think it was really, you know, a combination of answering questions genuinely, being myself, and really trying to show how I think about science, regardless of what my own data might show, really showing that I can, you know, be a researcher and think as a scientist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and I would also think that the fact that you moved from one research area to the other kind of demonstrated that you like the fundamental idea of doing research, it's probably looking for the right thing to excite you. And, you know, that sort of adds a lot of weight as well, I would imagine. So, now, how is the scholarship making a difference? How is the Goldwater Scholarship making a difference to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly it was an enormous boost to my confidence. You know, I'd been doing research for a number of years, but I didn't really think of myself as a scientist. And I guess, you know, winning the Goldwater Scholarship was just, I guess, confirmation that doing research is something that I am, you know, not only able to do, but I can succeed in. And, you know, around the time that I was applying for the Goldwater Scholarship is, you know, when I decided maybe MD-PhD is the right track for me. So I applied for the scholarship as an MD-PhD candidate because I was still technically, you know, in the pre-med domain at the time. But one of the questions on the application asked me to justify not how the PhD would help my MD, but actually how the MD would help my research goals in the long term. And that question had completely flipped the paradigm for me because it was, you know, it was justifying the MD, which I had thought was, you know, such a critical part of, I guess, my identity as a pre-med. But, you know, when I was writing the essay, I kind of realized that, you know, I guess it was sort of my weakest essay in that application because I had to think for a long time to try and figure out, you know, why, aside from, you know, seeing patients in the clinic and understanding how, you know, the direct consequences of diseases that we're not able to treat in the clinic, you know, creates new research opportunities. Aside from, you know, something about that or something about motivation to help my own patients, I, you know, really wasn't sure actually why medicine. So I gave it my best foot, my best effort in terms of writing that essay, but that kind of started a thought process of kind of questioning my career goals that over the next 6 months really continued to develop. And when I was awarded the Goldwater Scholarship, that I guess added another layer onto it where, you know, not only am I interested in research and, you know, kind of questioning medicine, but I've got this award, I guess, sort of, you know, backing me as a researcher and as, you know, as a thinker. And so it kind of just prompted me to really consider the decisions I wanted to make in terms of career. And I guess I could probably say the Goldwater Scholarship was the catalyst for my eventual switch from being pre-med to wanting to go to grad school. And I think, you know, I was awarded the Goldwater Scholarship at the end of March, but it wasn't until June that I actually made a decision on if I want to stay pre-med or if I want to just go into graduate school. And eventually, you know, I made the big decision and gearing up for graduate applications this fall.
Let me ask you this. Why are you so interested in pre-med? Why do you think, or where do you think that passion or interest came from?
Yeah. That is definitely a question that I'd been asking myself throughout the whole process. And I think remembering back to high school, that was around the time I decided I wanted to be pre-med. And I think it was a combination of, I guess, you know, the suggestions of people in my life. Certainly not people saying you have to be a doctor, but, you know, making the connection that you enjoy science and you enjoy helping people. So, you know, why not be a physician? And at the time, I didn't really have an idea of what it, you know, what a career could be in science outside of medicine. I knew that professors existed, but, you know, at that point in my life, I really only thought that professors taught in classes. I didn't know that they actually, you know, were able to do research in the laboratory and, you know, make groundbreaking advances in science. I wasn't really sure how that, you know, all played in. And so I kind of, you know, got onto the idea of being a pre-med and did some shadowing. And at the time, you know, I thought I really enjoyed the idea of medicine. And I certainly did at the time. I remember looking, you know, this past summer, I looked back at some of my my journaling from that time period. And I remember, you know, reading myself saying, you know, oh, my goodness, I really like, you know, the idea of working in the clinic. And I legitimately, you know, did want to be pre-med and I thought it was the right decision. But it wasn't really until I kind of, you know, saw the other angle and saw the other opportunities that were out there that I really came to understand that research is more something that I'm interested in. You know, medicine is really interesting, but I think science itself has enough merit for me to, you know, launch myself fully into that area.
Let's talk about the major that you ultimately are going towards now. Now, you've pretty much stayed with, is it biochemistry now, you said?
It's technically, I think what the university calls it is chemistry with a concentration in biochemistry, but it's fundamentally, it's a chemistry degree that I just have to take a couple of additional biochemistry courses for.
Okay. Now, is that, does that sort of align with your interest coming into college? You've been always excited about chemistry. You said you jumped in right in high school as well as in college. You talked about an organic chemistry course that really excited you. Just describe that for me.
Yeah, yeah. So as you mentioned, I entered college being really excited about my chemistry coursework in high school. I did the IB chemistry course, and that really, you know, it's sort of like a college level general chemistry course that you cover topics mm-hmm. ranging from, you know, bonding to chemical equilibrium, thermodynamics. And so I entered college, you know, enjoying that content and decided that I wanted to pursue it further. And so, you know, I kind of, you know, signed up for the chemistry with a concentration of biochemistry program because I was interested, you know, in medicine. And so, you know, I thought biology or biochemistry would be relevant for that. But I think, I mean, I was certainly interested in chemistry at the beginning, but it really wasn't until I took organic chemistry that I really understood how much I enjoyed chemistry and how much that major was the perfect fit for me. And mm-hmm. I guess after that, you know, after organic chemistry, when I started to work in, you know, in a bioorganic research lab, I took a bioorganic chemistry course and additional biochemistry coursework. And that just continued to confirm that, you know, this is an area that I just think is super interesting. I think I remember there were a couple of times, I think, especially during my organic 2 class, mm-hmm. that my professor started to, in his lecture, transition from covering content that was relevant for, you know, the exams that we had and moving more into the direct application of the chemistry that we were learning, but in the biological setting. Mm-hmm. And those lectures, I think my heart was honestly racing. I just, mm-hmm. I was so excited by those lectures. They were so inspiring to me. And I think it was probably in those moments that I really decided, okay, you know, chemistry is definitely what I'm going to major in. And then, you know, as I mentioned, continuing in other coursework, just, you know, continually having that excitement about seeing these, you know, transformations of molecules happen in enzymes was, you know, mm-hmm. revolutionary for me. It was really inspiring and really exciting. And I think just, you know, all of those sort of senses coming together around, you know, the time of the beginning of my junior year, understanding that a major in chemistry and with the concentration in biochemistry was right for me, I think was really important. Yeah.
Now, you also minored in music, or you're minoring in music now. Mm-hmm. Are you able to give that enough attention? It sounds like it was quite a passion of yours.
Yeah, yeah. So my mom started me on the violin as a 4-year-old. And so I'd been practicing and in high school playing in orchestras and symphonies in the local area. And so, you know, I wanted to study somewhere in the sciences. I wanted to study chemistry, but I was still interested in music. And so I thought about minoring in music and eventually, you know, clicked the button to say that I'm officially a music minor. And I've taken music theory coursework thus far for my minor. And I really enjoyed music theory, actually. A lot of people say theory is the worst part of a music degree or a music minor. But, you know, I was taking music theory at the same time I was taking organic chemistry. And I really found that those two classes were so similar to each other in the way that you had to think. I ended up calling music theory the organic chemistry of the humanities, just because it requires you to think in a similar way, right? You're building a line of music and trying to understand that line of music in the same way that you might develop a synthesis for a molecule or explain using an arrow pushing mechanism how a certain reaction works. And so music has been something I've definitely continued a lot in college, not only through, you know, taking classwork for the minor, but also some work in ensembles. Starting my freshman year, I joined the University Symphony Orchestra, and I joined a chamber ensemble group where we're matched up into small groups of, you know, 3, 4, or 5, and we play these classical, classic and classical pieces of music. You know, from a long time ago, but the music is, I think, it's really beautiful, and it's a great way that I can sort of, you know, engage my creative side, you know, aside from, you know, doing research, and get my mind off of the stresses of classes, you know, by fully diving into a piece of music, you know, learning the techniques and fully expressing the emotions of the piece, I think was something that I really enjoyed as well. So music has certainly been a long-term interest of mine. And even after, you know, college, going into graduate school, I'm going to try and continue music to some degree, although my focus is definitely going to be on getting a PhD and everything that goes with that. But yeah.
Of course. No, you know, what I realize is that you really immerse yourself in, you know, whatever you do, which is just fabulous. And so congratulate you on all the things you've done so far. And I hope you continue in this way. And I think it's just awesome.
Thanks.
So, John, I'm going to now ask you to give some advice to high schoolers, folks who might be, you know, thinking about college, may not be there quite yet. What are some of the things you've learned over the last few years that you might want to advise them on?
Yeah, I think I can kind of break this down into, you know, what you can do in high school and then how you can make the most of college.
Sure.
And I think in high school and really in general, just do what you enjoy, you know, do what you love to do and try not to force anything. I think especially, you know, during those couple years right before you're applying to college, there's a huge pressure to do things that you think will get you into college. Mm-hmm. And while those, you know, certainly, you know, there are some things that might look good on an application, quote unquote, doing what you enjoy, you know, really immersing yourself in it and doing it to the best of your ability, that's really going to stand out on an application. And you're just going to enjoy life and enjoy what you do a lot more. And along the same lines, you know, in classwork, I guess really both in high school and in college, you know, try hard, right? Always do your best, always put your best foot forward, because, you know, regardless of, you know, what the result is, maybe you don't get the grade you want, you know, maybe you don't get into the college you want. It happens, right? But, you know, if you try your best and if you always put your best foot forward, you're always going to learn from whatever you do, right? There's always an opportunity to learn, even if you make mistakes. And so I guess that kind of transitions into a suggestions I have for college. And I think the biggest suggestion I have, aside from, you know, doing undergraduate research, I think that's, you know, super important for people to just at least have some experience doing research and asking questions in that way. I think in the classroom, it's always important to ask stupid questions, right? The questions you think are dumb that, you know, you don't want to embarrass yourself asking. I've found that those are actually the most important questions to ask. Because, you know, sometimes it can reveal, you know, a big misunderstanding that you might have about the content. And, you know, unless you ask that question, you're still going to continue, you know, thinking about something in the wrong way. And so it can help clarify things. But at the same time, I've really found that asking stupid questions is the only way you're going to learn how to ask good questions, right? You need experience asking questions to get better at it. And so, you know, starting from, you know, the very beginning, you know, a question you might not think is even worth the professor's time, I think is certainly worth the professor's time. And it's definitely worth your own time to learn from as well. And then I think another suggestion would be, you know, especially, you know, for those who are wanting to be pre-med, you know, going into the sciences, you're going to have a lot of classes that are very large, massive lecture halls, you know, filled with hundreds of people, and that can be really intimidating. And I think something that I found to be really helpful and actually surprising how helpful it was sitting in the front of the classroom, because, you know, not only are you closer to the professor, so that the professor can see your face. You know, they can recognize you, and you can even talk to them before class. But since you're sitting close to the professor, you're less likely to be distracted during class, right? You won't, you'll have the pressure of, you know, the professor looking at you, and, you know, if they see you texting someone on your phone, you're going to be embarrassed about that. But at the same time, you know, sitting in the front of the classroom, you can only see what's in front of you, right? You're not looking at the hundreds of people sitting behind you and thinking about how you might have to compete against these hundreds of people in class, or, you know, that there are so many people that are, you know, working as hard as they can. And that's, you know, kind of intimidating. And so, you know, just directing your field of view towards the front of the classroom, only seeing the professor and the content, and like ensuring, you know, not seeing anything else or not thinking about anything else, I think can help your focus in the classroom, and it can really help your mindset as well. You can be fully immersed in the class. And I think, I mean, I guess you can also have more confidence to ask questions, because you don't have, you know, you're not looking at 100 people, you're just looking at the professor or your friends or something. And then I guess the last piece of advice I have is, it's, I guess it's kind of in the wording of things. You're going to have, you know, in college, you're going to have some really tough classes. You're going to have some really difficult experiences. I know I'm going, you know, I'm taking physical chemistry this upcoming year, and I know that's going to be a really tough class, but I always try to avoid calling a class hard and instead call it tough or difficult, because at least for me, you know, calling something hard almost is the same as saying that I can't do it. But, you know, calling something difficult, it feels more manageable. It feels like it's, you know, it's hard, it's challenging, you know, I guess it's difficult, it's challenging. But it's, you know, it's something that you can accomplish. It's a, you know, a feat that you can do. And so I think, you know, kind of just small mindset things like that, trying to make things, at least in your own brain, from the perspective of, I can do this. You know, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be challenging, but I am going to be able to get this done. I think that's really helpful.
So, John, we're going to start winding down, but before I let you go, I'd love if you could share some interesting memory or anecdote or vignette from your experience so far.
I guess, I think aside from, you know, some of those experiences that I was mentioning in my organic chemistry class, you know, really being inspired about the science, I think, you know, one of my fondest memories is just, you know, those relaxing nights with friends, you know, where the textbook is not even in the room. You're not even thinking about school. You're just enjoying your time with people that you care about and people that you have relationships with. I think honestly, like my favorite memories are those spent with friends. And I think because of that, just, you know, I would, I guess another suggestion for those, you know, looking towards the college journey is to find a group of people that you really get along with and, you know, you're passionate about hanging out with, because everything will just be more enjoyable. Even studying, just, you know, somebody cracks a joke and everybody, you know, laughs at that, and then you get back to work. Those small things, I think, really help to elevate the experience.
Fantastic. So, John, this has truly been a great conversation. Really enjoy your passion and spirit and energy. And I wish you all the luck in our senior year and beyond. So hope to be in touch, and we'll talk more in the future. But for right now, take care, be safe, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with John Georgiadis about his undergraduate journey at WashU. John came in as a pre-med with a lot of interest in chemistry. At WashU, he got heavily involved in research, first in the classroom, and then after taking organic chemistry, he joined his professor's lab group. That work in antibiotics helped solidify his interest in research, and after winning the Goldwater Scholarship, he decided to move away from medicine and now plans to go to grad school. I hope John's story excites you about college and about research, and you check out WashU for your own undergraduate journey. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College matters.
Alma matters.